Our text for today will be found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so if you could turn there. And it's the paragraph that begins with verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. And if you're physically able to stand, if you just do that, we'll read this in your hearing and then ask God's blessing on our time together. It says, "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments." Verse 14. "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Thank you, Father, for just a delight of being in the kingdom, the privilege of being your child, the honor of representing you in this world filled with darkness and demons and corruption and twisted minds, and you, Lord, have shown your light, and you've shown it in our hearts, and we thank you that you brought us out of that awful darkness and into the light of your marvelous Son. And we'll forever praise you, we'll forever give you thanks. Meet us now in the scriptures and guide us into truth. May it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for today is standing alone. Standing alone. Now, you know, there are many relationships in our lives, right? We got biological family members. We have in-laws. You know, we have, you know, the extended family members. We have childhood friends. We got athletic friends. We got educational friends. We got friends that we dine with, right? They're friends that we shopping friends, and we got co-workers and neighbors and Christian friends, and so all of these relationships. We got all of these relationships, and there are many different levels, you see, of relationship. We got close friends, and we got casual friends. We got distant friends. We got warm friends. We got cold friends. We got strange friends, we got personal friends, we got impersonal friends. You see all of this collage, but it's all under this umbrella of friendship. you see, all mixed in there together with these relationships. And you see, there are different investments that we make into these relationships. We invest time, we invest money, we invest our skills, we invest our possessions, we invest communication, we invest prayer and so many other things, you see. We make these investments into these relationships. And so as we come to our text today, we all confess that we have relationships in our lives. And what we are going to look at for a few minutes today is Paul talking to us about some of the relationships in his life, okay? Some of the relationships in his life. Today I only want to talk, I divided these friends into two kinds. I call them fickle and faithful, all right? Fickle and faithful. Fickle friends and faithful friends. So let's take a few minutes and try to unpack this and see if God will help us to get some benefit out of these verses. All right? So fickle friends. And I want to begin with talking to you about those that desert. Their desertion is a real reality of those of us who've had relationships for any length of time. You know that you've got friends that deserted you. They left you, right? They left you. And so this is real. Desertion is real. And so you see here in verse 10, as Paul is talking about his relationships, he says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." You see? Deserted me. So the desertion, Demas now was a co-worker, a co-laborer in ministry, a genuine co-laborer in ministry, with Paul. There's a little verse over in Philemon. Philemon 23 and 24, it says, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you," in verse 24, "and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas," you see, there he is, "and Luke, my fellow workers." You see, they were all genuine workers in the gospel ministry, genuine laborers in the work of the Lord. He was considered to be a faithful co-worker like Mark and Aristarchus and Luke. But ultimately, and this is the tragedy, ultimately, his love for the world and the things of the world surfaced. You see, they were there. It was there all along. It's inside him, and that's the reason you want God to search. David said, "Search me, know my heart," because we don't always do a good job of searching ourselves. We're not always honest about what's going on the inside, you see? And so we need to pray too, "Search me. Search me and know my heart. You see, show me what's in me, Lord. Show me where I may be overlooking things that are inside," because ultimately what? What's inside is going to what? So that's what Jesus said. It's not what goes in, but it's what it comes out, because it's already what? In the heart. It's in the heart. And so he had already said in verse 2 of chapter 3, "In the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money," right? And so here he is. John warned in 1 John 2, "Do not love the world," or what? "Or the things of the world, for these things are not from God, They are temporary, but this is a man that didn't take that warning. And there are many, many Christians that don't take that warning today. Brother Lay talked about a gambling problem that he had before he was saved. Well, you see, there's many Christians that are dabbling in it right now, thinking it's not going to take hold. But you just can't play with things that cause you to compromise. Yeah. Because he was drawn away with his love for the world, you see, and the things of the world. So don't play with it. Don't play with it. There are no supermen. There are no superwomen. We all have to deal with the reality of these temptations. Yeah. But you see, he mentioned two other co-workers here. You see in verse 10, Crescens or Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And so these two other co-workers have gone away too, but see, they went away after genuine, you see? They didn't follow after the world. They went after genuine evangelistic ministry. And so there are times that we've got relationships and friends that we're going to have to separate as we what? As we serve the Lord. Even though we'd love to be together for many, many years, there are times that separation is necessary as we serve the Lord. Yeah. So this is just the reality that we all want to be honest about. There's people and within our friends circle are not going to always be there for various reasons. All right. Then the next thing I see other than desertion is what I call desire. You see. Now I get that in verse 9. What you see, verse 9. He says, "Do your best to come to me soon." Do you just feel a desire in there? You see, there comes a time in your life where you just desire to see some of your closest friends. We all know it. We all know it. You know, little Derek here, I'm sure he's been away. You get away from home for a long time, and you just long to see, right? You just long to see people that you love, you see. It's that longing. It's that desire. That desire is in all of us, and so here you see there's an urgency as Paul needs to see Timothy. You see, he's writing to Timothy here. He needs to see him. You see, Timothy is a co-worker as well. Timothy is a disciple. He's a co-laborer, but he's also a mentee. Paul mentored Timothy. Y'all know that. You know, he mentored Timothy. But the fact is that when you're working for the Lord, time and distance and desertion and troubles and trials and rejection and the slander and all of these things that Jesus said are going to happen to you, they begin to create a longing for you to see those that are true. You see, some true friends. You know, some friends that you just sit down. You don't have to have no whole big thing going on. When you with a true friend, y'all can just sit down and enjoy each other. You know that? Y'all know that. There ain't no big thing going on. We just sit and we just enjoy each other. But you see, and that's the thing about a true friend, that even if you hadn't seen him for a while, it's like the thing that it's a pause button. You ever notice that? Like it was a pause button since the last time you saw him. As soon as you get together, you push that on the button, you take off the pause, and you just pick up. Right? Just pick up. Because that's what real, that's what happens in real relationships. But the thing is, Paul is in prison now. You see, y'all need to be aware of that. He's in prison in Rome. He's in prison in Rome, and Timothy is a pastor in Ephesus, and that's several thousand miles away. Okay, and several months of travel. So you can imagine that it's going to take several months for Timothy to get this letter, and then it's going to take several months for him to travel there to see Paul. You see, it's not like our circumstances. It's not like picking up your phone and texting someone, say, I need to see you, and they jump in their vehicle or jump on a plane or something, and they're there within an hour or two. No, this is a big deal when you try to communicate with somebody that's a long distance and then for them to come see you. You see, it's a big deal getting the message to them, and it's a big deal for them to make the sacrifice, you see, to travel to see you. See it? But that's what real friends do. That's what real friends do. And so he's in prison in Rome, and Timothy's in Ephesus. And the thing is that Paul knows that he's about to die. Yeah, he knows that he's not going to be released from prison this time. You see verse six. Look at Second Timothy 4:6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So he knew it. He knew that he was not going to leave prison this time. But the wonderful thing is that he hasn't given up. You see, for the Christian, we don't give up just because things are difficult. We don't give up because you may know your circumstance is not going to change, right? Don't give up because whatever kind of prison you're in, you may not be able to get out of it. You may be in there for the rest of your life. It may not be prison bars, but it's some circumstance in your life that you're not going to get out of for the rest of your life. Don't give up. No. God wants us to stay faithful. How long? To the end. Stay faithful to the end. So there's a beautiful picture here of a brother who's standing in a difficult situation, but he keeps pressing on. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. And so I guess I'd just say to you, as we leave this particular point of thinking about fickle friends, is that sometimes you just want to see and talk to certain people when you're going through troubles. You just want to see and talk to certain people when you're going through troubles in your life, because it's just their presence, just them listening, just their listening ear and encouragement is what you need to make it through. Everybody in here knows about that. Certain people, just when they show up, they bring encouragement with their presence. Certain people know how to listen, right? All of us got a friend or two that knows how to listen to you and not overtalk you and not try to correct everything that you're saying. We all got friends like that. That being present with you is just a great, great encouragement. And so I want you to think about that as we kind of work our way through this message today, is that There are people in everybody's life that when you're going through something, you just want to see them and you just want to talk to them. Yeah. No, no. Well, the beautiful thing is in our, in our day and time, in our culture, we can at least, we got all sorts of alternatives. I mean, nothing takes the place of, faith in person, but at least we got some options, don't we? You know, as I said, we got phone calls. We got. I don't know. I've never used the thing, but what's the deal called? FaceTime, that kind of deal. With you can do that with your phone, can't you? And obviously, we got, we do Zoom all the time. And so, I mean, you think of it. That's we got technology helps us some, but it's just nothing really takes the place fully of an in person. Gathering when you're going through something. Yeah, we all got friends that we need to be around us like that. All right? So then the other thing I want to talk about real quick is then faithful friends. When it comes to faithful friends, you got some that stay close to you. Yeah. Some that stay close. You look at verse 11. Luke alone is with me. You see, he's with me. You see, he's talked about all of these people that have gone out for various reasons. But Luke is with me. For whatever reason, we don't know. But, Luke was a doctor and Paul had a lot of physical ailments. And so I'm sure there's a blessing with him being there to be able to help him in those ways. But more than that, it's just to have a faithful friend that stays close, And so several co-workers and friends had deserted. And Paul tells us that back in chapter 1 and verse 15, that none stood with him. They deserted him. But others, as you remember, we said, have gone out for genuine ministry and are really serving the Lord. But Luke has stayed with him. And so you see, there. Thank God there's always somebody in your circle that'll hang with you. Regardless of what you're going through. Yeah? Thank God he sends someone in our circle of friends that'll hang with us regardless. When others turn their back, when others judge us, when others misunderstand us, and all of those things. You got God sends that someone that are just hanging there with you and help you to work it through. Yeah. You know, it's like you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. Y'all remember that story where Naomi, after husband and sons died, and she's there with these two daughters-in-law, and so she was trying to get them to go on back to their own home, back to their own culture, because she said, there's nothing that I can do for you. You remember that? And so one daughter-in-law took her up, but Ruth says, no, Ruth says, no, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be what? My people. And your God will be what? My God. You see, thank God there are some people like that. Everybody needs a Luke and a Ruth. Yeah, amen. Yeah, everybody needs a Luke and a Ruth in your life. when you're going through things. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And so there are some that stay close. But then the last thing I want to mention here in this particular area is that there are others that kind of drift away, though. You see? There are others that wander away. You see, look at the second sentence there in verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Now, those of y'all know the story. Y'all know this is a very amazing thing here, because you remember early on in ministry, back in Acts 15, Paul was really disappointed with John Mark. You remember that? And he was, somewhat of a timid man, and he couldn't handle the rigorous kind of challenge that he saw in Paul's ministry, and he pulled back and he wasn't as faithful as Paul thought he should have been. And then he got ready to go on another journey, and Barnabas wanted to what? Take John Mark, but Paul says, no, I don't think I can depend upon him. And so, you remember that they said that they had a sharp argument, and they separated. Barnabas took John Mark and went on to ministry, and Paul took Silas, right, and went on those journeys. And so, there was a separation between Paul and Mark. But now both men have matured. And people normally like to say that Mark has matured, and he did. But I believe that both men have matured now, you see, since that time. And that's the way it works out with us when we've had disagreements with friends, isn't it? And we have to split. Is that it's not just one person that matures, right? Both people mature during that time of separation. And so when the healing comes and the reconciliation comes, it's because there's been some growth in both people. Yeah, yeah. And so that's the reason I say both men have matured now. And you see what Paul says, bring Mark. For you see how he said it? For he is useful to me for ministry. The very one that he was so disappointed in before is the, and the key is that he's now useful to me. You see, because Paul has reached the point where he sees that he needs Mark, and Mark now has grown to where he can be useful. And so my point is that there are friends. Even though there's been this time and distance between them, Mark has remained a faithful friend. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come. Otherwise, he couldn't have sent for him. You see? If Mark is sitting around and bitter and miserable and holding this against Paul, here he is in his final months of his life, and who is he sending for? You see? And so don't write anybody off. You see? Just because you had some sharp disagreement with one of your friends, don't write them off. Yeah. What's the old terminology? Don't kick them under the bus. You see? Because God has a way of working in people's lives and hearts to make them to make people, as Paul said, useful in our lives. You see, you're useful to them, they're useful to you. That's why we've been together so many years. That's why we've been together so many years. We realize, like the song, we realize we need each other. We could go to any church. That church is way closer than this one to all of us. They're larger churches. They've got, you know, so many more amenities than you. But, you know, here we are in this little building, you know, limited in space, limited in, you know, and all of the kind of things that we may do, but we're not limited in love. Yeah, we're not limited in the presence of God. Yeah. And so, just be mindful of that. Distant friends need to know when they are needed. See, friends that are away from you, you can't just assume that they know. You see, Paul didn't assume that Mark knew. What did he say? Bring Mark. Let him know. Call him. Text him. Say something to them. Don't sit around and pout because they're not showing up. Let them know they are needed. Y'all get it? Yeah. You got to tell people. Tell people when you need them. Tell people when you need them. Yeah. So, faithful friends may be few, but appreciate the ones that you have. You see? Don't scoff because somebody has so many more friends than you do. No. Appreciate the faith. You see, faithful friends? Appreciate them. Love them. Cherish them. Because they're few. They're few. Appreciate the ones that stay close. And appreciate the ones the ones that stay close and never leave your side. Appreciate them. But also appreciate the ones that have to move away. Don't minimize their value in your life just because there's a few hundred or a few thousand miles between you. Yes? Appreciate the few friends, because particularly in the Christian life, because you know that God is the one that we're not friends by any luck and chance. Y'all know that? We didn't come together by luck. This is God's doing. This is God's doing. That's the only reason we exist. Why are our doors still open? Because it's God's doing. So we must appreciate each other and love each other, even though we are few. Yeah, even though we are few. Well, that's the substance of what I had to say today. And so, we've been considering circumstances where Paul had to stand alone. And we haven't gotten to the full gist of it yet, but I'm trying to introduce it to you. We're considering the circumstances where he had to stand alone. And I know in our congregation, for those on Zoom, there have been and there will be circumstances where we have to stand alone. Yes, there will be. And there already have been in our lives, and there will be in the future. But now, when it comes to standing alone, there's really only one example. Right? Christ is the ultimate example of one who had to stand alone. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And that's what Isaiah said. Jesus told his own dearest friends and disciples, you will all fall away because of me. This very night you'll fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. The flock, sheep of the flock will be scattered. Jesus told them that they would deny him and deny that they even knew him. And did they do it? All of them said, never will. But they all what? They all did. They all denied that they knew him. And so he stood alone before his enemies in this unjust trial that they put together late at night, you see. A hurried trial so that there couldn't be no justice to it. He stood alone. No one to vindicate him. Nobody standing by his side. He stood alone. In the humiliation and the torture from those crude soldiers who did awful things to him. He stood alone. He stood alone. He stood alone on that road to Calvary. There's no one there to go with him. He was on that road alone. Those that were going with him were mocking and scoffing, and even those that were weeping. Jesus said, "Don't weep for me. Don't weep for me." But he stood alone. He stood alone as they riveted his hands and his feet to that cross with those large spikes and nails that could support his weight. Nobody was there with him. He stood alone. He stood alone on that cross. He stood alone as he took on the wrath of God and our sins, and as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He stood alone. None of us understand that kind of loneliness. None of us. Nothing that we've gone through could have come anywhere close to the kind of loneliness. But he never turned back. He never looked back. He said, "For this I came." Yes? "For this I came. For this I came." There's a couple of great lines in the hymn. It says, "See," oh my, "from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" You get the picture? "Were the whole rim of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." For the one who stood alone at the cross, so many eyes were fixed on him with mockery and scorning and shame. Oh, but now we fix our eyes upon him with adoration and love and worship and praise. Oh, isn't it wonderful to look upon the Lamb of God? "Now behold the Lamb the Lamb that has taken away our sins. And you see Him. You just have to see Him in your heart. The one that stood alone for us. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He stands alone as the high priest, and he alone is there on the throne of grace and invites us to come to the throne of grace. He's alone. There's none like Him. He's the monogenes. He's the only. He's the unique Son of God. He's alone. God alone. That's why we love Him. That's why we will live for Him. Yes? Who died for us. And if you're not a Christian, I just say to you, you've got to behold Him as well. You've got to fix your eyes on Him. Behold the Lamb. You got to see Him for yourself. You can't see Him through somebody else's eyes. You got to see Him for yourself. You got to know that He's the Lamb of God for yourself. Behold the Lamb. And to know that He has taken away your sins. Oh, there's nothing like it. To finally see it for yourself. Behold the Lamb. Father, thank You so much for opening the eyes of our heart so that we could see what all You've done in this wonderful plan of redemption. What a marvelous, marvelous plan of redemption it is. And Lord Jesus, what can we say but thank You? Thank You, thank You, thank You for taking away our sins with Your own blood. And now as we bow together to think about these things, would You just meet us now in the Spirit, and may this time be for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.